and say hi, ring and ring.
The All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast, a southern storm of bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcast. You can go to Pantheon to find your most preferred music podcast, plenty to choose from. So go to Pantheon Podcast and find, you know, besides us, any of your preferred music podcasts. Jason's is with us here. Jason's with us. Jason is with us. Jason plural is with us.
A Jason, one of the Jasons, many Jasons.
A Jason is adjacent to the podcast.
Adjacent. You know, a lot of kids born in the 70s had the name Jason. I know many, many Jasons. But speaking of Pantheon, Brian, also home of the official Metallica podcast.
Yes, indeed. That's big, huge.
And I've got them in my queue to listen to the podcast, and I can't wait. I know it was just like the anniversary of And Justice for All, which is one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Metallica record. Do you have a favorite Metallica record?
Oh, Master of Puppets.
Can't go wrong with that one either. I mean, Ride the Lightning, Master of Puppets, Justice for All, and of course the Black Album, but I like the more thrashier stuff.
I don't think we'll ever get a straight answer as to why the bass was buried in Justice for All.
I don't think we will.
And I think the only thing is they were hazing Jason Newsted.
They did a lot of that to him, and I know he still probably harbors some tough feelings about the whole thing. Somebody went, God bless the internet and YouTube. You can go on YouTube or the internet, and you actually can find a remastered version somebody did where they put they raised up the bass levels, and it's different. It's good.
Yeah, wow. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I do like to hear that. What's going on with you?
What is going on with me? Well, I might be going to see next weekend. Yeah, next weekend. First Devin Worley, the Devin Worley Band has their release party for their record coming out, and then the following night, the Weathered Souls are playing. It's all in Minneapolis, so I haven't confirmed it yet, but I'm hoping to go.
That would be great. I really enjoyed the clips you sent of Devin's performance there a couple weeks ago when you're in at that festival.
Northwoods Jam, yes.
The Northwoods Jam, that's the name of it. In Minnesota,
all in Minnesota. You know, I start to see some glimmers of hope of good things happening up here. It's been going on for a while, so hopefully that'll continue. I'll be also doing like a small like video thing for Northwoods Jam as well. Hopefully I'll get that done soon.
That'll be awesome. I'll be eagerly anticipating being able to watch it.
So you saw some good shows here lately.
Well, we just had our episode here not too long ago with the Fire and the Frets tour with Aaron Coburn and Leilani Kilgore. And I was fortunate to go up to Cleveland and check that show out.
And how was that show?
It was awesome, Brian. I've seen both of them play live already. Never together, obviously, because it's the first time they're kind of co-headlining a bill. But it's great. They each got a little bit over an hour to play. Tight set list, a lot of fun. Erin brought out her Spider-Man lunchbox guitar, had her electric ukulele out. Leilani, of course, brought the fire like she always does. And having, I think, an hour and 10 minutes to play a set suited them both extremely well because they got down to business and played their best material. And it is a hell of a tour. I recommend anybody who they come to their area, check it out.
Oh, it's just such a great pairing.
It is. They complement each other extremely well, particularly with both of them kind of going more towards rock and less towards traditional blues. Man, they just fit extremely well. They were both supportive of each other, watching each other's bands play. Got to hang out with John from Leilani's band a little bit and talk to him. He's a buddy of ours, and chatted with Erin and her mom a little bit after the show, and it was a good time. They're playing a lot of shows. It is a fantastic co-bill with two rising stars who complement each other well. So both Erin and Leilani on their websites and social media have the tours listed. Check it out, Brian. One day maybe they're going to come out west and you get a chance to see it.
That would be great. That'd be great. Well, before we were talking about all these like new releases coming out, people doing records, a lot of them fairly newer artists, but we have someone that's been around for quite a while coming out with a new record, and we were so fortunate to be able to talk to Chris Robertson from Blackstone Cherry, and he talked about their new record coming out today. As you're listening to this, Screaming at the Sky by Blackstone Cherry is out. Everybody go out and get it. He was just so funny to talk to, you know, talking about Pokemon cards, and
he was out on the hunt, and I never would have expected that, but that just goes to show you he's a regular dude like anybody else. And Brian, again, he's part of that extended Kentucky HUD Hunters, Kentucky family thing we got going on down there.
We love Kentucky. We love Kentucky. Yeah. And, you know, those guys are probably, you know, maybe the second most well-known band from Kentucky, probably, I would say.
I would say so. They definitely have their own niche and fan base right now. And, you know, they just headline the Marion Popcorn Festival up by me, and it's a big festival. They get like 30,000 people that go through it, so right on.
Yeah, and it's you know, great to hear what brother Steve Jewell adds to the band. You'll hear Chris talk about, and so many other things. So you guys kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Chris Robertson from Blackstone Cherry. System seems to be overloading. I need a minute to breathe and nothing else, and let go of this pain I keep holding. Sometimes I just want to run. Just need a chance to let go of the past and stop to live here in this moment. But it's easier said than done. We're at the guest segment of the podcast. Jason's going to introduce our awesome returning guest.
Yep, and we're excited to have him back on the podcast while he's out on the hunt. We won't say what for, but he's out and about. We have Chris Robertson from Blackstone Cherry coming back with us. How you doing, Chris?
I am doing good. The hunt was successful. Pokemon cards have been secured. Charizard is in my sights, damn it. Now that's all there is to it.
So you got the cards. Do you do the games? Do you play the games at all?
So I don't play the game, like the competitive version of the game.
Yeah.
But I play some of the video games. But the one I play isn't really like a Pokemon game. It's called Pokken Tournament DX. So it's like Tekken, but with Pokemon characters. So it's kind of pretty badass.
Yeah, it's like a fighting game.
Sorry, I'm walking through the bus real quick.
You're
maybe loud.
You are fine. Chris, now we've had two video game themed rock artists with us. We just had Jason Charles Miller on, and now we have you. So it's kind of interesting to see that mix between the game world and the rock world.
Oh, yeah. Now, well, look here. Video games and Pokemon are kind of how I live life when I'm home.
Right on. Well, you guys have a new record coming out September 29th, Screaming at the Sky. Let's hear all about this.
Yeah, dude, we're pumped on it. It's, from what I hear from the reception I've gotten, it's probably our heaviest record to date. But the comment that I've heard the most that I think sums it up the best is people say it's the most honest and to the point record we've ever made. You know, lyrically, it's straight to the point about what each song's about, you know. And it I love it, man. I'm super stoked for everybody to get a chance to hear the work we put into this thing.
Well, so far we've heard Out of Pocket, Nervous. You want to like give us the lowdown on what's that about, or is it up to listener interpretation?
Man, you know, I'm a big fan of listener interpretation. I can tell you the thought process in my mind, but you know, I'm a firm believer in everybody hears a song for their own reason. You know, now. With that said, Out of Pocket is just that. You know, we all went through that pandemic together, you know, mm-hmm. as the world. And we all had moments in that thing where we 100% didn't feel like ourselves. Even people that have never experienced that in their lives experience some form of this doesn't feel right, you know. And I think it was a song that kind of summed up the way everybody was feeling when the world finally started opening back up, you know. It just, we're ready to live again.
Right on. Where was this recorded? Did you guys produce yourselves too? What was different about this one besides it being heavier?
So we self-produced, and we didn't use a studio this time. We recorded the drums in a theater, the Plaza Theater in Glasgow, Kentucky.
Okay.
We set up there, made a makeshift control room in the dressing room there. And then we recorded all the rest of the stuff. We recorded the guitars and the drums at the Plaza. And then we recorded the bass guitar and the vocals all at John Fred's house.
Right on.
What led to that decision, sir? Chris? That's an interesting setup, actually, for sound.
Well, we wanted to try the Plaza just because of how the drums sound acoustically in that room whenever we sound check, do things like that. You know, it's just, you're standing there and you're like, holy hell, these drums sound friggin' amazing. Just in the room, you know, let's try it with microphones on it. Because, dude, the room doesn't always translate through the microphone. You're taking a shot doing that. And we got lucky because it translated. Yeah. And it sounded absolutely amazing in there. And, you know, we literally went into a room blind saying, hey, we're going to record the drums for our record here, but we don't know what anything sounds like in this room. And you got to be kind of crazy to do that, but... You got to be kind of crazy to do what we do to begin with.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has 3 pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with 2 devices at once, new quick charge function, 3 customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
That's true. I mean, that's a lot of space to try to capture, I guess. Did it take a lot of trial and error to get the sound you guys wanted to come out of the drums and guitar?
The only thing that took a minute was the placement of the room mics. And that was just Jordan getting them where he wanted them, essentially, because he mic'd the room and not the kit from a distance. If you point the microphones at the drum kit, you just have really far distance mics. But yeah. If you turn them around and get the actual reflections of the room, then you have room mics. And we made sure to capture the room as well as distance mics, you know, because they're both great sounds, but I like having both. I'm sure Jordan does as well. But that room, you know, the biggest thing was just figuring out which spot in the room sounded the best for the room mics, because the drums sounded like cannons the minute the mics went up.
So how did this work? These songs being created, did these come quickly? What period of time did these start appearing?
So we, all these songs came about on the back of the bus, really, after soundcheck or after shows or on a day off or something. The whole thing was written on the back of the bus on the road. Some songs, the music sat there for months. Some songs, it was instant, you know. But the process was probably the least amount of songs we've ever written for a record. It was most definitely a quality over quantity version of it this time.
You said this is a little bit heavier, Chris. Were you guys listening to any specific music or anything that were influencing in you and your writing, or is this just something that came out naturally?
I think it's just the process of everything that we'd all been through over the last couple of years. It was just what was coming out of us, you know? There wasn't any kind of conscious effort to say, hey, let's make a heavy ass record. We just started writing songs and they came out that way, you know?
So, you know, obviously we all know, you know, you have new bass player in the band, Brother Steve Jewell. What does he add? Yes, what kind of enthusiasm and fire does he add to the band and in the recording and song?
He probably makes them do calisthenics and PT before they go on stage every day.
Hell no. He can do all that working out and shit. I ain't doing it. No, I'm going to Pokemon cards and play baseball. That's what life Chris going to live. Steve can work out and do his pull-ups and all that shit. No, man. The thing Steve brings is a youthful light. And energy, man. And like, dude, he was in there with us writing this stuff. Like, well, what if we did this, you know, or what if we had to lick like this here, went to this chord here, you know? And it was amazing, really, you know. It's kind of like he's always been here.
That's what I was gonna say. It must have been a great transition seeing you guys all go way back. So,
oh yeah, man. I mean like four flats on a Cadillac. Come on now.
I'm learning all sorts of new good terms today, man. This is great. I'm gonna start writing some of these down.
I'm full of them, man. Just you know, where we grow up, one-liners I come and go quick.
Well, you know, being a lyricist writing the songs, I'm sure that kind of helps you too build songs that have like a great repertoire of the stuff.
Luckily, I ain't got to do it all myself. We all write together, but. It does help that we're all quick-witted as hell. I mean, we are world-class smartasses on this bus. Yeah, people wouldn't believe the stuff we say to each other up here sometimes. And it's fast, too. You got to have thick skin to ride this bus, that's for sure.
Oh, I would imagine. Where are you at right now?
Austin, Texas, at a Walmart parking lot. And they didn't have no damn Pokemon. They need to get their game stepped up.
No shit.
Apparently, though, there's been some damn thievery going on with the Pokemon in this region. The guy at GameStop was telling me that the sign on their door was from a woman that came in and filled a bag full of Pokemon and ran out. And people have been, this whole region, apparently, this area of Austin, people have been going in and vandalizing the Pokemon. Now, damn it, what? I won't stand for it. I will not.
Yeah, no. How hot is it in Texas today? Because I know, man, it's been crazy.
Well, I'm pretty sure that I'm living the best I can, and I'm hoping I get to heaven. But if I don't, I'm pretty sure this is close to what hell feels like. We went on stage last night at 8:15, and I kid you not, it was still 100 degrees outside. This is bullshit. I'm sorry. There's no nice way to say it. This kind of weather is just unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Well, I mean, I'm glad I'm bald, for one. I mean, it's the only time of year I'm glad I have no hair on my head.
Doesn't all the sweat roll down your eyes, though?
I wear a cap all the time. Now, these caps get funky as hell, though, after about a week.
Sure. How does playing in such extreme heat like affect you guys? It's like playing, because you know, playing live music's like a sport. You're active, you know, it's hard as shit. Like singing, is it hard?
As long as the air is not too thick, it's easier to play in heat than it is cold.
Yeah.
And I say that simply because I sing, and it's a lot easier to sing when it's warm than when you're cold and everything's tense, you know. But at the same time, like, yeah, I mean, I sing and play guitar, but same thing with guitar. It's like I would rather my hand be sliding off the guitar from so much sweat than my hands be cramping because it's cold outside.
Oh yeah,
you know, so it's a double-edged sword. It's not the most enjoyable experience when it's just miserably hot and you got to play. Like tomorrow, we're in Lubbock and we play at like 4 something, I think, at this festival. And that's going to be brutal. Oh. That's going to be one where you make sure you have like some cool rags on the side of the stage, stuff like that, you know.
Well, you guys are out on tour, and I'm certainly looking forward to I'm in Fargo, so you guys are playing here November 6th at the Sanctuary. I'm looking forward to that. I saw you guys at the
Yes, sir.
Blue Stem Amphitheater in Moorhead across the river, and it was fantastic. So I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again.
Yeah, man, you're coming up to Ohio. And you're coming to Ohio September 9th at the Popcorn Festival. It's right up the road for me, and there's no reason I don't stop in and get some popcorn and see you guys.
Now look here, they better have good popcorn. I ain't gonna lie. And I don't want a popcorn festival flavored stuff. Yeah, but look, see, the popcorn festival makes me worried that it's gonna be a bunch of weird ass flavored popcorn. And I just want that good movie popcorn, you know. Like I'm the kind of person that I'll go watch a horrible movie just to get a large popcorn with a refill. Come on now.
That's right.
That's a good deal.
It's a great deal. You can refill the tub as much as you want. We totally do that too, you know, especially you drag a couple kids with you.
How much butter is going
in? Yeah, I don't eat supper for 3 days and I have to double up on my blood pressure medicine before.
That stuff they use like creates a wall of like plaque in your arteries or whatever. But it tastes really good.
Oh, yeah. And that's a story of my life is everything that tastes really good to me does really horrible things to your body.
Yes. And I'm sure Steve is not eating that stuff.
No. He's Mr. Fitness now. I can't handle it.
Well, he was like in Men's Health magazine or something.
Yeah, dude. I see pictures now. There's a picture of a time Otis Jamlin played with us at the Shed in Maryville. And there's a picture of me and Steve on stage looking at a guitar. And we was big old boys, man, both of us. We were both unhealthy, you know, and I'm very proud of Steve. And, dude, he inspired me to go ahead and lose even more, you know. And, dude, because of Steve, I was able to get down under 200 pounds again for the first time since probably sophomore year of high school.
Nice. Right on. Wow.
Right on.
That's great.
Sir.
Well, you know, I don't know if we mentioned the first time we talked to you, but we've become very, very obsessed with Kentucky. And I actually had a Zoom lesson, bass lesson with Steve, and he told me you guys are all aliens. Because I can't believe there's that many great musicians clustered in a rural area.
Oh, well, that's what it is. We were actually sent here from the planet Utopia. they call it that because it's euphoric.
I'm sensing a theme album, like, you know, you have one of those like Aliens from the Planet Utopia. That would be great. That's your next record.
Come on. Hey, look here. The Euphoria of Utopia.
Oh, those words roll off your tongue. That's a song title, at least.
See, look, I told you one-liners for days.
Hey, Steve, I know you're a guitar guy. Last time we spoke to you, you were using Lucky Dog guitars and some PRS. You still doing that, or you get anything new?
So I'm using a lot of Lucky Dogs, some regular Fender Tellies. I've still got one PRS out with me. And I just recently, the last couple of years, I've started using some Chapman guitars. And I've built a relationship with them. And I've actually got a prototype of a signature model that I'm working on with them that hopefully will be more news about that soon.
Well,
but it's badass. It's semi-hollow.
Before we wrap
so up. Hold on, don't interrupt yet, Brian. what kind of pickups are in it?
It's so the one I'm playing right now has my signature bare knuckle humbuckers in it, but the production model of the guitar will have a really nice set of PAF voice pickups in it. But yeah, it's two humbuckers, a T style body, reverse headstock. It's all white, this beautiful binding. I'll probably post a picture of it on my Instagram later today.
Okay, I will look for it. Sorry, Brian. You know, when we start talking gear, I get crazy.
Well, you reminded me of a quick gear question before my other comment here. What pedal do you have from Analog from Jeff?
It is the Chris Robertson Dose Buzz, and we just put out a V2 not long ago, and it is absolutely badass, man. It's basically, I use two forms of fuzz. I use your more traditional kind of fuzz, and then I use a fuzz that has like this crazy ass octave up kind of thing with it. And I told Jeff, I was like, I would love to have both these in one box, and he made it happen. And the first 50 we did sold out, and he asked if I'd want to do a V2. I was like, sure, man, let's, you know, do the thing. And he voiced it a little different, and it's a little different than the first version, but I absolutely love it, and it's the one I use the most.
Looking at your tour schedule, too, you guys are heading back over to Europe. What's the reception like in Europe for you guys?
Oh, dude, it's crazy. It's always a shock to us that people from that far away from where we're from enjoy our music the way they do.
We find, you know, Brian and I talked to a lot of artists, and the ones that we love, like, for whatever reason, Europe is a bigger, like, it's more enthusiastic over there. And what can we do to get the U.S. audience to be like that? Because, like, you guys and so many great bands, man, it just seems like it's just killing the U.K.
I think that's the million-dollar question. You know, that's the one we haven't been able to crack the code to yet. I mean, if we do, I'll let you know.
We'll share with everybody else.
That's been the one, you know. We've never cracked the code in the U.S. of going to that next level. You know, hopefully this album does that for us, though.
I hope so too. I've loved the first two tracks. I can't wait to listen to the whole thing.
Thank you.
Well, before we let you go, I wanted to share a quick anecdote having to do a little bit with the poster, Blackstone Cherry poster behind me. We recently had We had Tanner from the Comancheros on and Richard with him, you know, since he produced the record. And yeah, as you know, talking to Richard is just a hoot, and you never know what direction you're going. But he was talking about how, you know, a lot of the young folks today don't know how to write in cursive. And I couldn't help notice on that poster that John Fred's signature is just immaculate and perfect, and the rest of you guys are like chicken scratch.
Yeah, John Fred, his grandpa was a teacher, and Richard went to school for journalism, and John Fred attempted to go to college for about 4 days, but English was always John Fred's thing. So, like, his signature is the most legible, and mine is just like, shh. But that's the way I've always signed my name. Like, but I have horrible handwriting. Like, if you ever read the lyrics that were in Magic Mountain, that's all my handwriting, and it's not the easiest to read most days.
You got to be quick and efficient when you're signing a bunch of stuff. Hey, we're getting on football season. Do you have a college football or a pro football team?
I'm a Steelers fan. Have been since I was a little bit born.
Oh, man. See, I'm a Bengals guy. No, I'm from Southwestern Ohio.
No. Look here, I'll say this. Y'all got a hell of a program. And if Joey B can stay healthy, it's going to make my life a living hell for many years to come. Sure. I think if Pittsburgh, if the linemen pan out that, you know, we've gotten, I think that Kenny is going to be a great quarterback in years to come. You know, I don't know that we're going to be big playoff contenders in the immediate future, but I think in a couple of years we'll be up there giving y'all a run for your money.
Well, I mean, the Steelers I will never say really this, have though. Down. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, look, a bad year for us is a 500 year, right? Yep. And it has been for quite some time. But I can honestly say I'm not a Steelers bandwagon fan. My dad was a kid in the 70s, and it was Dallas or Pittsburgh, and thank God he chose Pittsburgh. You know, but I will say I am a Reds fan now. I will give you that. I was a great American not long ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah, well, they're slumping a bit after the All-Star break, but I'm hoping this last 6 months are good.
We already can't be as bad as we were last year, so there's a
play. That's true. We surpassed the record.
Right. Right. There's no way we can lose 100 games this year.
No, there's no way. Unless they played a
couple
over. Dude,
let's be real here. Nobody expected the Reds to be as good as they are this year.
True.
Nobody. I mean, dude, look – And Graham and Ashcraft, that dude's going to be dangerous.
He's going to be dangerous. They got a couple of these kids they just pulled up that are pitching this year that look – even Williams pitched last night. He pitched a really, really good game, you know. He learns to be a little more efficient.
He came in and put six in a row down, man. That was nice. Yeah, he came in and put six in a row down. Yeah, so, me and Ben and a couple of the other dudes are Reds fans. So I'm out here on the hunt trying to pull some more Ellie cards. I've got three or four. So,
do you?
But now I've got I got this box of 22 Chrome. See if I can find me a Hunter Green or some of that stuff in there.
So Pokemon cards and baseball cards.
Yeah,
I dig it.
All right, man. Where do we go to find out more about Blackstone Cherry and everything you guys got going on?
It should be Blackstone Cherry Official on all the socials, and then blackstonecherry.com. You can find all the tour dates, links to merch, anything you need to know.
Right on, and right on.
The new record's coming out when?
September 29th, Screaming at the Sky.
All right, you guys heard it there. Thank you so much, Chris Robertson from Blackstone Cherry. Thank you for joining us again and taking the time. We really appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Good luck with the hunt.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one, guys.
Thank you so much to Chris from Blackstone Cherry for coming back on for a second time. We had a great time talking to him. And fortunately, he did not get hit by a car walking across the street with his Pokemon cards.
I was so nervous when he was talking to us. I was so nervous. I was like, oh, please don't get hit. Please don't get hit by a car while you're doing this right in front of us. Nah, good dude. You and I got a chance to listen to the record ahead of time because, you know, fortunately, when they're setting up these interviews, they sent some. I dig it. I like the tracks. I know it's out today. Hopefully everybody that's listening has taken it for a spin or will take it for a spin. They got something going on, Brian, with that mix of hard rock, blues rock, southern rock kind of in one modern package, don't you think?
I do. And, you know, they'll tend to have, you know, some records in the past that are more shows more of their rootsy stuff, and then they'll come back with something heavy. And I think it's just all, you know, like a lot of other bands are just kind of a snapshot of that time in their life. Here's what's you know, here's where their experiences are influencing music and the lyrics and all that. So yeah, just what a fantastic, great band. You know, I don't know if you had like a regular line of communication with Chris, you know, you guys could go at it with the Bengals and the Steelers all day long.
Yeah we could. And you know, my Bengals are a little shaky and the Steelers are a little shaky. So we'll see what happens between both of them.
On even ground there.
I think we're on even ground, but I'm enjoying the record. Hopefully everybody else here is given a spot. Going to check out Blackstone Cherry when they come around your area.
And they are coming up here in November. And so I will be there at the Fargo Brewing Company. Looking forward to seeing those guys. So, thank you so much for Chris for joining us from Blackstone Cherry. Always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time. Who said the
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.